Well, hello and welcome once again to another Battle Site for Christ radio broadcast right here on the Just Jesus Network. Ooh, I'm telling you now, if you haven't tuned in recently to the Just Jesus Network, then you don't know what you're missing. Oh, they just keep growing and growing, and there's even a possibility of them moving into the video arena. Oh, won't that be great, eh? Yeah, you might want to check it out. Get in contact. Talk to somebody down there today. The Just Jesus Network is growing, and God is pleased. I'm sure of that. Yes, indeed. Well, my message today is, quite simple, actually. Nothing complicated, but you really do have to listen carefully. And I have to be very precise in what I'm saying. And I pray to God that He'll give me utterance. Please, Lord, in Jesus' name. The title of my message is, Crossing Over. Crossing Over. You know, the seasons come and the seasons go. Well, we get a little sunshine, rain and snow. Some of us get a lot, right? Just the way that God intended it. Yes, just like God, the creator of heaven and earth and all that is and ever was, planned it. Something else that God planned. Are you listening? Are you? Something else that God planned. God also planned our redemption. Our redemption. From what? Well, from the curse of sin. You see, as long as sin has a preeminence and reigns in our flesh, we have no hope of ever getting to glory. But Jesus went to the cross, didn't he? Yes, he did. He bled and suffered and died for the sin of the whole world. And thereby we have entrance unto God the Father through his shed blood. See, God planned our redemption. Oh, yes, he did. Why? So we wouldn't have to spend eternity in a fiery hell. Why? Because he loves us and wants us to spend eternity with him where there ain't no fiery hell. Oh, this is why he sent his only begotten Son to set us free from Calvary's. Or, pardon me, to set us free on Calvary's tree. Yeah. Can you not picture our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, envision, if you will, in your mind, Him, the Christ of God, nailed to a wooden cross, filled with our sinful shame? Wow. Why? Why did this have to be? Excuse me. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. None. And only he who is without sin could nullify the sins of the world if the world would deny ourselves and turn from our sinful ways. Some have called the crucifixion barbaric, and it is. Others have argued that there must have been another way. Why would a holy and righteous God devise such a horrible and excruciating death for someone he loves so dearly? Why? Why, you may ask? Because he loved someone else just as much. And that's you, and that's me. That's why. His love is so great, overcomes everything. And every person born upon this earth, every person, hey, that's a lot of love, isn't it? Can any of us love so much? even dare to? Would you give your child, your only begotten child, as a sacrifice for the whole world? Would you? Silly question, perhaps, but worthwhile noting. Did you know that even as I speak right now, there are precious souls from every belief system in the world thinking down deep inside themselves? Can it be there is a God that I don't even know? A God that could love me so much? He would do such a thing? Give His Son for me? Well, the answer is a very simple yes. Yes, there is such a God. His name is Jehovah Jireh. Actually, He goes by several names. But you know, they all mean the same thing. God with us. God with us. Holy and righteous. Yet there is only one God. One God. A God who's triune by nature. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the great I Am. He is. But we know Him better as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. My friends, He is all that He is. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. As God the Father, He rules from heaven over all that has been created, all He has created. His most perfect attribute is, you guessed it, love. Love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting, eternal. Wow. You can't do any better than that, could you? Even if you worked it out yourself. In the book of Genesis, His Word tells us of His creation. And God saw everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And on the seventh day, God ended. You still hanging in there? Sometimes I feel I got a little frog in my throat and I have to pause for a second, so I don't hiccup or something worse. Anyway, on the seventh day, God ended His work, which He had made, and He rested. On the seventh day, He rested from all the work which He had made, from all that He had done. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Did God really love His creation? For sure. God wouldn't create junk. For sure. You see, God don't make no junk. And I'm quoting that from another source, but it's true. There are those who would think foolish things about God, like if He knew all about all the pain and suffering and everything that's going on and that would follow them, why even create such a world if He knew this was all going to come about? Why? Well, I don't want to, as they say, second guess God, but oh no. Oh no, I know what you're thinking. You know, how can someone who loves you so much allow you to go through such misery and pain and suffering? One day you'll find out the answer. It's all wrapped up in a four-letter word, which I already quoted, and that's love. All there. Let us just suppose, all right, let us just suppose, with all respect to God and His holiness, with all respect to God and His holiness. I've had people ask me this. I think I even ask myself sometime, with deep respect. You've probably heard it yourself, but bear with me, okay? If God, in His foreknowledge, knew how this world was going to turn out, I mean, with all the pain and suffering and hating and depravity, and especially what was to occur at Calvary, I mean, with having to send His only begotten Son to be tortured, blasphemed, and humiliated, and finally be nailed to a cross, not in a field of flowers, but atop a large garbage dump. And why? Why? Well, I'll tell you why. To cleanse the world from all its sin, so that the repentant sinners could enter into His glorious presence for all eternity. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, yes. Yes, God knew. He knew when He created the world that sin would abound, that we would lie, we would steal, we would kill, and worst of all, we would curse His holy name. Oh. But God also knew something else. Are you listening? God also knew the remnant, the repentant sinners that would turn to Him and believe in Him. And why Calvary was necessary, for it was done for us. For us. Now, I don't want to say that that God was lonely and wanted company and companionship, especially since He had to kick Lucifer and a third of His angels out of heaven. No way, that's not what I'm saying at all. It's true, but he doesn't need company. He doesn't need companionship. He's got lots of company and companionship. God is not subject to the frailties and weaknesses of humanity. You have to understand that. God is above loneliness. God is above disparity. God made loneliness. Did you know that? He made us lonely so that we would need companionship, not only with others of like precious faith, but mostly with Him, with God. God made love. God made joy and peace, long-suffering. He made gentleness and goodness, faith and meekness and temperance. And He called them the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Oh, yes. Since I became a born-again child of the King many years ago, I've listened to many different preachers who have been overwhelmed by Satan's trickery and have related false gospels. Yes, false gospels to their audience. I soon learned that the main reason for their deprivations was not just because of what they had been taught. No. Many were reared in the truth, but departed from the truth to a more liberal type gospel, to increase their financial fold and their audience. Thus we have the birth of many of the so-called mega churches. You see, there was a time when a mega church was made up of believers who were faithful to the Word of God. And that's why they came, because they wanted to worship God together in a place where they believed God was present. But you know what? wherever there are large amounts of people, there are large and different thoughts, different thought patterns, if you will. And eventually people got, it seemed, complacent, maybe bored with the continuous flow of the gospel coming at them. So what the mega churches had to do, because money was coming in left and right, they didn't want to lose any of their coffers. So what they had to do, if they wanted to survive, was to give the people a little bit more than the gospel. Now, when that started out, a little bit more didn't seem like a lot, but a little bit more soon grew, as did the audience. You see, now a lot of people go to these big mega churches because all their friends go there of like precious faith. And that like precious faith is not complete in God. Oh no. For some it is, but for many it is not. They go because of what's taken place in these great mega churches. They've added so many different things. Lighting has changed. I mean, you have strobe lighting all over the place in many of them. You have rock music, drums, guitars. I mean, some of them sound even beyond that which you'd get on a TV program. Why? Because people just have a natural instinct to want to be entertained, whether it be through adversity or whether it be through the Word of God. They do. It's a natural instinct. So the church kept adding, along with the lighting, along with the lack of preaching, there was also videos that would entertain. Oh yes, the truth may have been buried in them somewhere, but they were mostly entertaining. The last mega church I attended many years ago, I watched this come about. The church started out, oh, it's a place anybody wanted to go. People were so friendly. People just loved to talk, and I don't mean gossip, I mean just talk about the things of the Lord, and we had fellowships, you know, all the time. We could go here, they'd come here, there, and it was just one big happy church family. Do you like that? There's nothing wrong with it. But when the preacher notes that there's so-and-so is not returning anymore, or that family over there have gone to another church, he wants to know why. Because that other church, who was a step ahead of them or behind them, was featuring programs more so for the children, and they separated the children from the adults, but also for the adults. They'd show films. Short films, perhaps, but films. They'd have more updated rock music. I'm not talking about Black Sabbath and stuff like that. No, I'm talking about music that gets your feet tapping in the aisles or at your seat, where you can say, hey, that's cool, man. I like that. Should be more of that. I mean, a guy would love to come to church more often, wouldn't he? But you know something? That's not in good standing with God. You're in a place of holiness. You're in a place where God has the preeminence. You're in a place where you are there to worship God. And whether you do it standing up, kneeling down, or lying down, that's not the point. The point is that you're there for God. You're not there for self. You're not there to put on a show for anybody else. The last place I went to, the program was about 1 hour and 10 minutes. But in that, they only had like 10 minutes of preaching. The rest was all entertainment and gossip. Oh, did you hear that so-and-so, well, they had a bit of an accent there the other day, you know. Seems his mother tripped going out the door and fell and cracked her kneecap. Oh, we must pray for her. Well, of course you must pray for her. But this goes on and on and on. Now, I was there. I saw it happen. I couldn't handle it anymore. I left there. And I went to a small church. Not by choice, but because I was praying and searching and I asked God to give me direction. Which He did. He gave me and mine direction. We ended up at a small Baptist church on the outskirts of town. There weren't many people attending this church, and it wasn't a very large building either. You know, but the people who did attend, let me tell you this, they believed in the God of the Bible. They believed in one God. They believed in the sufficiency of the cross. They believed in the Word, the complete Word, and the complete Word is found in the 1611 King James Bible. I'll tell you that right now. Now you might say, well, how do you know? What makes you so sure? Are you God? No, I'll tell you what makes me so sure. God makes me so sure. God. You see, of all the other Bibles out there, all the others, there's no two alike exactly. Oh, they're close, but they're never alike. And when I got anchored in this small church, became a member, look, every week I go in there, I hear the gospel proclaimed in one form or another, but it's always the same gospel. And the emphasis is on the scriptures. Oh yes, we have entertainment sometimes, a little singing before the church, before the message, a little singing maybe after. And we have our times of fellowship here and there. We have a grand time. But we made it a practice at that small Baptist church to give God the preeminence. Our numbers dwindled again. They were small. I mean, way down. And they're still down quite a bit today. But you know what? Those who are still attending are true to the Word of God. And we know others will come in. They may not enjoy it. We don't go to church to enjoy it. We go to church to get blessed. All right? Oh, you know, it's such a sad situation when you see these things happening. The mega church, the birth of the mega church. God forgive me for saying this, but it's almost a curse in a way. I personally am membered with a small Baptist fundamentalist church, and I wouldn't change it for the world. That's quite a statement, isn't it? For one to forsake such a church in favor of a grandstanding mega church has seen many would-be Christians, I tell you, and I have, many would-be Christians falter and fade away. Falter and fade away. Ask them. Ask them for their spiritual ID. Go ahead. They may surprise you. And what about the mentality? What about the, pardon me, what about the mentally handicapped? Huh? My wife and I have worked with them many times. One thing I found out is, though their dialogue may stumble, there is one word that comes through plain and simple, and that's the name of Jesus. Jesus. Oh, what a glorious name it is. While they may not have clarity of speech, many are brimming with the love of Jesus. And so it is with the elderly and faint of mind. Talk to them. They may know more about Jesus than you think. Just bear in mind, when Jesus says, "Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them," He wasn't talking only about their works and dialogue. No. Not the Jesus I know. Not the master of love and compassion. By their fruits ye shall know them. Give me 5 minutes with a believing person, and through our dialogue, without even mentioning works, I can know if this person is truly saved. No, I can't look upon their heart. That's what God does. But I can hear their words. I can hear their words. For example, an unsaved soul will, when asked if he knows for sure that if he died today, would he go to heaven, will reply, "Of course I'll go to heaven. I'm a Christian." Honk. How does he know he's a Christian? "I'm a Catholic," he says. Wrong answer. Double honk there. Your religious persuasion will not save you. No. Your religious persuasion will not save you. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's so important that you do. It's so vital, so very important that you do understand this. You know, we could talk about this time after time, day after day. Fill our whole day with, "I wonder if that person's saved." I don't think they are. They talk about Jesus hardly ever at all. You don't know their heart, so do you? You can't judge a person just by being in their company for a few minutes and hearing them talk. No. You've got to know about them. You've got to know what's on their heart. Just like God knows what's on our hearts. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, cults. Cults are a terrible thing. They can ruin anybody at any time. They can take the preeminence in your walk, if you allow them to, because they make you feel good at the things you would want to do, not the things God would want for you to do. It's been a joy to be able to bring forth these words that God has laid upon my heart, that you may be able to share them perhaps with someone else. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for the time you have shared with me and allow me to share this time with you. But most of all, I want to thank God. I want to thank Jesus. For without them, I wouldn't be able to write a single word or utter a single phrase that would glorify him. Please feel blessed today. Think about what you're doing and whom you're doing it for. Please, in Jesus' wonderful name, and for his sake, I pray. Amen. Amen.